Good morning.
Today's reading is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. And feel free to follow along in a Bible you brought yourself or one you find in the pew, or just be blessed by listening. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. And Father God, I am so thankful, Lord, that that you called me out of darkness into light, and that many people hearing this have that same story, a similar one, but a little different of how they were living in the world, and you brought them out of it and into your salvation and into your kingdom. And I am so thankful that you've done that, Lord, and help me, Lord, to cling to you, Lord, and not be fooled and outwitted, and to delve into the things of the world to a point that I lose my love of you. I pray that that will never happen. Father God, thank you for giving us this opportunity to worship you in music, in the reading of your word, and the preaching of the same. Lord, thank you for our deacon, Bruce. Lord, he loves God. He loves your word, and he loves us. I pray that you put in his heart and his mind what you'd have him share with us, and give us ears to hear, so we'll have take to heart what we are being shared. In your name we pray, amen.
Morning, everyone. Situate my water here. I had Jeff read that passage today. I just love the intimacy that God brings forth in that we're his sons and daughters, and our Heavenly Father. Just great verses for me to encourage me, and I think about it with the subject today of David and Goliath, that that David, he demonstrated that intimacy and the faith that came from that as he, faith in his Heavenly Father, while he was on the battlefield with Goliath. And so today we're going to see what we can learn from the story so that we can apply it to our lives and the battlefields that we're on. I know probably most of you would agree with that, I think, that there's battles throughout our lifetime, right, that we fight. And so first let's start out with just looking at the battlefield. It takes place when the Philistines, they're camped in an area called Ephes Damon. And this is 1 Samuel 17. And then Saul and his men, they were camped in the Valley of Elah. Both of these were within miles of Bethlehem, if you're trying to get a picture of where this is taking place. So it was within a few miles of Bethlehem. And when they faced off against each other, the armies were on two mountains. There was a valley between them, and they were on two mountains facing off to each other each day. So try to imagine that you're in this scene and that, you're trying to relax a little bit. But most likely, with these armies so close together, you're hearing or seeing maybe their campfire. You're smelling food from the other camp. You're maybe hearing sounds. Maybe there's drums being played or what have you. It's a lot different than our modern warfare, where today, you've got people using drones and they're thousands of miles away and they're sipping their coffee and they send in a drone to do some type of warfare, right? So it's a very up close and personal situation for these men. Tensions are very high, right? And so you've got this going on, and then the champion from Gath is revealed, Goliath. And Goliath is 9 foot 9 inches tall, right? I have a hard time capturing that in my head. So I brought a prop today. I don't usually like props, but today I brought a prop. And Goliath, his head would be about where the tip of that is. That's 9 foot 9 inches. It's off by a couple of inches, but 9 foot 9 inches. That's hard to imagine. And that's just his head. Think about his arms. When he reached out to you or what have you. He wore a bronze helmet. His scale armor, which would be over his chest and stuff, weighed 125 pounds. You think about, some of the men might have weighed 125 pounds or 175 pounds. This guy's armor weighed 125 pounds. He had bronze shins on, shin guards to guard his shins. He had a javelin, and a javelin was, like a spear, but it was a little thinner. It was more for throwing long range, hitting somebody at a distance. He also had a spear, and it said the spear was like a weaver's beam. And what that means is a weaver's beam is about 2 inches in diameter, right? The whole length of the spear, 2 inches in diameter. It said the head or the tip of the spear was 15 pounds, 15 pounds. So to balance that out, that spear had to be probably about 12 and a half feet long, right? So that's like double most of us in height. And this is what Goliath would yield coming at you, right? 15 pounds. I can't imagine the look on these guys' face. So have you ever heard of the term bringing in a ringer? That's somebody that has exceptional abilities, right? Well, that is basically what they did. They brought in a giant. He was the ringer. And have you ever experienced anything like that in your life? Think back. And I have. I literally experienced that when I was in the ninth grade. I was a little bit tall for that age. I was like, say, 5'10". I was playing basketball, and the other team had a guy that was like the size of a professional basketball player. He was over 6'5". And here I am, 5'10". And so my Coach Tillman, I'll never forget him, he's like, Hardy, cover that guy and take him out. I'm sitting there, I'm going, take him out? What does take him out mean, right? I'm like, so I'm thinking, okay, he means make it hard for him to get around, hard to score, maybe he'll foul out, hit me a lot and foul out, right? So I'm sitting there, I'm trying to guard Ken, and I got to tell you, I wasn't happy with that assignment. It wasn't the best assignment. And I wondered if Ken remembered that a couple years back in vacation Bible school, I pulled a fish hook into his hand while we were doing a skit. And he had to go to the emergency room and all that good stuff. So I'm sitting there, got that in the back of my head. I wonder if he's going to, be a little bit upset with me, but I don't think he realized it, so that was good. But the point being, giants exist in our daily lives, right? It's a person or it's some type of catastrophe. They do exist. And so these guys have this huge giant. And then he gives the challenge. So Goliath, he says, why draw up in a battle array? Why line up to do battle with everybody? Just send one guy and let him come up against me. And if your guy wins, then we'll be your slaves. We'll be your servants. But if I win, then vice versa, right? So you've got Goliath making this, and imagine seeing the giant and hearing this challenge, right? And you thought you were just going out to battle. You'd be on a field with like thousands of soldiers or what have you, and it wouldn't be so personal, let's say. But this is a personal challenge from a giant, right? So then you got the response from Israel, which is a little bit understandable. Basically, Saul and all of his army were afraid, it says. You know, and these are battle-hardened men, been in many battles, bloody battles. But they were afraid, and maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you've been in a situation where, you know, maybe it's more of a heat of the moment. You had, you know, fear come upon you from this situation, but maybe it was over in seconds, maybe it was minutes, or maybe the day, possibly, right? Most cases, it's over for us. But you got to remember, it says this went on for 40 days. Every day Goliath came out, he made the challenge to him. And I'm sure those guys are sitting there, you know, the tension's about as high as it can be, right? They're thinking, will this guy ever go away? but he doesn't. And so next we have David enters the scene. And it gives us a little bit of that background on David. He comes from a family of eight. Jesse was his dad, and Jesse's a little bit older in age, it says. So the kids were older. Three of the oldest were going out to battle. They were there at the battle scene. But David, he was the youngest in his family. And so David, he was tending the sheep. That was his job. So he was back home doing that. Occasionally he'd come out to the battle scene. So that's where we go next. David, he arrives on the scene. His father had sent him there to bring some items to the brothers and maybe some other folks, where they brought some cheese and things. So he arrives at the camp, and at that time, kind of like I told you earlier, you're hearing shouts. Well, they were shouting the war cry, and they were going to align for battle. And so he comes up to that, and he runs to the battle line to see his brothers. And out comes Goliath. And so he's taunting the armies again with the same speech he makes every day. And so David heard his words. But once again, it says the battle-hardened men, they were afraid, and they fled. And they started talking about, well, whoever kills this giant, you know, the king's going to make him rich. He's going to give him his daughter. He's going to make their family tax-free. That sounds pretty good, right? Tax-free. I don't know if you've ever found favor in from somebody like that, but that's pretty amazing. That would be very good. And from David's standpoint, you know, talk about making your parents proud. Hey, Mom, hey, Dad, you're tax-free for the rest of your life. So that would be pretty good to hear. But David didn't hear all that. The men were just talking. And then it says David, he started asking questions about what's happening, because he didn't hear the speech. He said he wants to know what's the rewards for fighting the giant. And then you've got David's brother, his oldest brother, Eglon. Well, he's not happy with David. He thinks that David is, you know, wicked, that he just came out to see the battle. And he questions his motives. And, you know, that's something often we deal with, right? We deal with families sometimes in the weirdest places, right? Here's David. He's in battlefield, and his brother's giving him a hard time. You know, what are you doing here? You know, you just want to watch the battle. But David, he turns to others and clarifies, what's the reward going to be? And so then you've got Saul. You know, he finally hears somebody asking about the rewards. So he summons David to come to see him. And David says to Saul, you know, don't let any man his heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. So remember, this giant had no other challenges for 40 days. And here's David. So the question is, you know, why did David have so much confidence and faith to go up against this giant? And Saul questions it. He says, hey, you're just a boy. And, you know, Goliath, he's been a warrior since his youth. So why are you the one that's doing this, right? So David's answer is, you know, really what all of our answers should be. You know, this is what the Lord has done through me in my life. And he gives him an example. He says, hey, while I've been tending sheep and a lion or a bear comes and takes one of my lambs, says I go after him and I attack him and I rescue my lamb from their mouth. And then when the lion or the bear raises up against me, I grab him by the beard and I kill him. So don't discount, I guess the lesson there is, you know, don't discount what God has done in your life. You know, the experiences he's given you that he can use for his glory. And that's what gave David his faith, right? And another reason for his faith, he also says, you know, the Lord will do the same thing to the Philistine that he did, you know, to the bear and to the lion. But he says, you know, it's because of his taunting the army of the living God. That's why he's going to do it, right? It's a righteous cause. And that, again, strengthens David's faith. He knows that the Lord will do this not because Goliath taunted David, right? It's because Goliath taunted God's army. And we can be strengthened by that same thing if we are doing God's will, aligned with God, and going after his righteous causes. We can grow our faith. So another good lesson. And then we've got David. Now he's going to prepare for the fight. It's based on who David is. You know, Saul, he starts clothing David with garments and a helmet and a sword. And, David's walking around. He's probably all clunky. He's never been clunky like that before with all this weight on him. Didn't say how much it weighs, but probably give a bit of weight. And he just realized, hey, I haven't tested this. I haven't fought in this armor before. So he took it off. He takes his stick. He finds some pebbles in the stream. It says five pebbles, smooth pebbles. Puts them in his bag with his sling. And so, you know, this is who David was. He was a shepherd. He wasn't going to try to be anything different. He killed a lion and the bear. He's thinking, hey, I'll do the same thing with this giant. So then we've got what this next section is very interesting to me. This is what I call the trash talk section, right? You've got David approaching Goliath. And Goliath had his shield bearer in front of him, but, you know, David's by himself. And Goliath, he expresses, you know, hey, you're just a boy. You know, you're handsome, you're young, you're just a boy. You come to me with a stick. He says, what am I, a dog, that you come to me with a stick? So he says, you know, you come to me and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the sky and to the beasts of the field, right? You're nothing. So David says to the Philistine, says, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. Now, if you're an Israelite, right, you've been there for 40 days, you're thinking, yeah, finally somebody stepped up, right? And maybe we will be okay here. We'll get some servants after he wipes out Goliath, right? They're hopeful. But then David continues. He says, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Right? So now you're one of the Israelites, and you're saying, maybe you're thinking, well, did you have to threaten the whole army, right? We had this thing going where you're just going to kill the giant. It was going to be okay. But it is. So David's laid down the gauntlet here, right? He said, this is what God's going to do. So then we transition to the fight pretty quick here. You've got the Philistine. He rose up, the giant, and he comes and draws near to David. And then David ran quickly to the battle to meet the Philistine. And, you know, David put his stone in his sling. And it says he slung it and he hit the giant right in the middle of the forehead. It says it sunk in. So we know it did some good damage. Philistine, the giant, he falls over and he's dead. But David did not have a sword in his hand to take his head off. So then we've got David. He finishes the job. He had already killed Goliath, but his next act is important because it instills fear into the Philistines and fulfills what he said. So he runs over, he takes the sword from the Philistine that he killed, and he cuts off his head. And so then you've got the Philistines, when they see this, they see, hey, our champion's been killed. You know, they flee. And then you've got the men of Israel. They arose, they shouted and pursued the Philistines, and it says they pursued them as far as the valley and to the gates of Ekron. So they slew all these Philistines along this path, and then they came back, and they were plundering the camps from the Philistines as they came back. And it says David, he took the head of the Philistine and he brought it to Jerusalem, but he put the weapons away in his tent, which we see show up somewhere else later. So the key here is David was a man of his word, and he finished the job. What we see, it makes me think, what I see in our society today is, you know, we've become very soft, right? And we're afraid to finish the job. But God wants us to, right? He puts us in these situations, and he wants us to be faithful, to have faith in him and finish the job. So after David does this, before he fought the giant and after he fought the giant, you have two sections there where Saul is asking, you know, where do you come from? You know, what's your lineage? And maybe it's because he's going to be giving his daughter to David if he kills the giant, which he did. He wants to know a little bit about David, right? His father and so forth. And so David says, I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. But to me, what's even more important is that he's a son of the living God, right? He should have been thinking about, you know, David's spiritual standing. Because David, you know, while everybody else, if you think about this, was consumed with the battlefield, right? The physical aspect of life and what was going on. You know, David, he was thinking spiritual. He was trusting in his heavenly Father, and he knew how his heavenly Father had made him and prepared him, and so that was what was important, and that's what's important to us. So let's take a look at, you know, how to grow in faith from this battle, right? We learned that you know, people are going to underestimate who you are in Christ. It's just going to happen, right? You know, David's brother, he saw him as wicked. You know, he wasn't looking at him spiritually. Saul looked at David and said, "You know, you're just a boy." Right? He was looking at the physical. And then Goliath looked at him and said, "Hey, you're kind of handsome, but you know, you're still a boy, right?" All three of them underestimated who David was spiritually. And that's important for you to remember that you know, you've got to look beyond that. And then, you know, have faith in God's work in you. Right? So David, he looked back and he said, "Hey, you know, God's been with me. I've killed the lion. I've killed the bear." You know, and God's done the same thing in your life. You know, you've got to look for those things that God's accomplished in you that might be, you know, not a specific application to what you're facing, but in reality it is. That's He's made you for that moment, whatever it is. And then make sure it's a righteous cause. I don't want you to go out of here thinking, Bruce said I can always conquer Goliath. Well, you know, is Goliath the righteous cause for the day? You know, you gotta pick your battles, as they say, right? Make sure you're pursuing in life what will be glorifying to God. And as you do that, He will prepare you. He will see you through it and make you victorious. So in that case, you know, Goliath had taunted the armies of the God of Israel, and that was a righteous cause to go up against him. Next, prepare based on who you are. We saw that, you know, David was a shepherd. He figured it out that, hey, I'm used to a slingshot, you know. I'm used to a stick. I'm not used to all this armor. And maybe it's the same thing for you, right? You're in a situation and people are telling you, you got to do this, you got to do that, and you got to have this. And you look back and you say, "Nah, not really. I'm prepared. You know, I'm ready. Let's go." And then finally, you know, be prepared to finish the job, to take the head as David did, right? If you stop midway, you know, God's not going to get the glory that he should get. And, you know, it's probably going to come back and haunt you in some way. But God wants us to be, you know, ones that finish the job. So now I ask you, so who was the underdog in this situation? So many times we hear the story of David and Goliath, you think of David as the underdog. I would argue that Goliath never stood a chance. He was up against the God of Israel, our Heavenly Father, right? And as with David, you are a child of God. And you're favored, right? So go into your battles knowing who you are, that you're favored. Look for these areas that we talked about, and God will deliver you, right? So, let's pray. Lord, thank you for just such detail you gave us with David's life and the battle that he was in here, but how you used him at that moment, that you had prepared him through life, and that reminding us that you'll do the same for us, God, that each one of us is so different, but we are your children, and there is no greater thing to know our Heavenly Father. Help us to get intimate with you and gain from that the faith that we need to bring you glory day to day, Lord. We praise you for this time and your work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.